The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
There have been times on this program where we have been defined, Chew, as haters of certain players.
Which is unfair. We don't hate anybody, right, Gabe?
Correct. You probably hate Josh from time to time.
Hate's a strong word.
Okay. Annoyed with Josh from time to time?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Me and Josh were just talking before we went on the air, and Josh told me that he's getting kind of worn out from winter. It's not even winter yet, and I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie.
You guys kind of bonded over
that he's feeling a little pain.
Look, I'm right there with him. I'm right there with him.
Okay. Just, the ice, I can't get rid of it, no matter what I do.
See, why, what's the temp there?
9 when I woke up.
Yeah, I think the high today is 16, Chu. Yeah. Like I heard, I walked it. I did my hit on WTMJ this morning. I walked in just as Eric Bilstead was reading the news. I don't know what day he said, but he said, with wind chills at 25 below. I don't know when that's coming, but obviously it's coming very soon.
That's that weekend, this weekend.
This weekend at some point, yeah.
Yeah, but I think most people would rather have the nasty stuff right out of the gate and have the back end be better as opposed to let's tiptoe into winter and have to deal with it on the back end. Is that fair?
I don't know if it really matters. The big deal here and recently is the what feels like a never-ending assault for 2 weeks of extreme cold, snow, ice, sleet, all that. It's been nonstop.
Yeah, that's what I hear. But let me ask you, Gabe.
Okay.
Because you play a sport that has to deal with the seasons.
Yep.
Would you rather still be playing golf right now? Because, I've been back there. We played golf in December.
Oh, sure. We certainly have.
Would you rather be able to still play golf right now and then not play till May 1 or have the golf season end, say, November and start playing golf, say, the 1st of April?
Yeah, I mean, if I could get to the 1st of April and playing golf, I will take that, Chew. Because I feel like playing into the middle of November, sometimes that feels like it's stealing. And I was able to get a couple of rounds in the middle of November, kind of before Thanksgiving. And then it got cold enough, and then we got all the snow, and here we are. Like, you're not golfing anytime soon now in the state of Wisconsin. Everything's covered, which is going to be fine for golf, I think, because you want kind of that layer of snow on top of greens and they recover and you're going to be able to have a pretty good spring season. But it's been, I think the tough part for this and the way this winter has started, Chew, is like the last 5 winters have been so incredibly mild. It might even be more. But I could be wrong, but the last time I remember having snow like this before Christmas is 2016, where you've got enough and you've had to shovel a handful of times. Like, we've had some pretty mild winters over the last almost decade. So I think, and Joshy, if I'm speaking out of turn, let me know. I feel like we had been kind of getting used to these mild winters and thinking that this was more of the norm of, it's not going to snow until, even if it does snow, you may have to shovel it, but it's going to get warm enough where it all kind of melts away on its own. And you don't have to deal, just to get punched in the face with literally everything winter has to offer. Heavy snow, light snow, sleet in the last 2 weeks. It's been a lot.
So this is pay the piper. Now, where the hell does that come from? Why do you got to pay a piper?
I'm
sure we could very easily find it, and it would probably make a lot of sense.
I just assume that you have knowledge for all these sayings. You seem to know at least 75% of the origins of a lot of those like idioms and sayings.
Yeah,
that one you're blank on?
Pay the piper. I have no idea.
But yes, I would say we're paying the piper for the mild winters over the last 7, 8, 9 years. Yeah, we're probably paying the piper here a little bit.
Back to us being haters, though, because I'm intrigued, because I think that's an unfair characterization.
I would agree. And I think we've tried to make our point clear on guys like this year. It's been Romeo Doubs, even though Josh seems ready to take a victory lap based on Doubs' shrugs.
I mean,
what did he do?
I just went, Josh's ready to take a victory lap. He's like, oh, you know, well, hey. maybe that's right. But we've been labeled as haters of Romeo Doubs, and I don't think that's fair. What we hated was how Romeo Doubs was being used. And I think that we've seen, especially over the last couple of games, how explosive the offense has been, and Romeo Doubs' opportunities have been limited, that maybe we were right on that one. Last year, we were labeled as haters of Rashawn Gary. And that was, hey, we're not saying that Rashawn is bad. We're saying he's being paid like an A player, and he's playing, at best, like a B player. And Chewy, your formula for winning championships is your A's have to play like A's. You've got to have a couple B's play like A's. C's play like B's. You have to have your A's play up to their level, and then you've got to sprinkle in with some other guys who are B or C players playing to a level above them. And when you're paying the money that you are to Rashawn Gary, he's got to play at a high level. And once again, I think people are starting to come around on Rashawn Gary the way we talked about him. So... Yes. Yesterday, I want you to hear this. Jeff Hafley stepped up with a full defense of Rashawn Gary.
There's some for me where I need to put him in better situations, right? So I'll always look at myself first. So there's some stuff that going back, I wish I had done a little bit differently to help him out. Then there's some, you know, the players, we got to do our job and be more consistent and play our technique and line up right. And then that certainly has an impact. I mean, you know, and it's twofold. We have to get off the field. And then I told Matt, I mean, he scored in like 40 seconds on the one after we were on like a like forever drive. And I'm just looking at the iPad and I look over to those guys. I'm like, great job. I was like, but gosh, couldn't you take a little bit more time off the clock? You scored too quick. And I'm joking. I hope we score quick all the time. But we were on the field a lot. And we need to do a better job of getting off in those situations. We were on the field too much to line up and play run after run after run like that. So we have to be better there.
What is he saying? He's tired?
Well, that was... I mean, yeah, that's part of it. But there was also... I mean, there's like a minute and a half one, Joshy. I don't know if we have that.
Yeah, I got to find... I thought that was it.
Yeah. But basically, what he says is Rashawn Gary's been playing the run really well. The way that teams have been protecting, it's been hard to get pressures for him. So even though he hasn't had the sack, like, if you want to play that game, Micah Parsons didn't have a sack. Like, he... had a full-throated defense of Rashawn Gary, which is twofold. And go ahead and listen. Here's what Jeff Hafley had to say about Rashawn Gary yesterday.
Game, I know you don't want to hear about the run right now. Rashawn's playing the run game way better than he did last year, in my opinion. All right? We're not getting many drop-back passes. We're getting seven-man, six-man play-action protections where it's about rushing and converting. And a lot of times you got a tight end and a tackle on you. You got a tackle and a back on you. But at the same time, he's not getting as many opportunities, right? And then even on these third downs, we're getting more runs and screen on third down than I've ever been a part of. So do we want him to have more pressures? Certainly. I'm giving you a reason, and yes, I am defending him, because I actually think the guy's playing really well, right? And I think a lot of times, I think people look at things very black and white when you have to look deeper into it. Right, and just because a guy might not have pressures in a game or sacks in a game, that doesn't mean he didn't play well. Micah Parsons didn't have a sack in the game last week. Micah Parsons had an unbelievable game last week. I mean, he had totally affected the game, but he didn't have a sack. So if you're going to be results-based, then you can call it what you want. But if you want to look deep and look at the whole process and how he truly affected every play, he had a really good game. You know, hopefully we'll get a chance to get in a game where the ball's going up in the air and there's a lot more drop back passes and a lot more opportunities to rush.
So my follow-up to that, so there's two things here, Chu. I think when he defends a player like that, it's easy to see why he's going to be head coach. Like, he was very eloquent in the way he spoke for that 90 seconds. It's easy to see why he can get a room of guys behind him. At the same time, I feel like I don't know what excuse is left for Rashawn Gary. We've got the head coach saying he's not a high snap count guy. All right? So now he's playing the run really well. And, well, I mean, Micah didn't have a sack, so if Rashawn didn't have a sack, it's okay, is basically what he said at the end there. But Micah's also getting pressures, and I think that's the thing with Rashawn, is he's not even getting pressures at this point. He's not getting anywhere near the quarterback at this point. And, look, I understand he's got to defend his guy, but my follow-up question to that would be, okay, if we want to dig into the process, what does the process say if him and J.J. Ngabire are playing the same amount of snaps?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know what? $28 million average defensive ends don't split time. Okay? They don't split time. And what he says, and I get it. I get why he's doing it, but it's kind of insulting. Jeff, I'm not stupid. Okay? I'm not dumb. Okay? I have eyes. I played this game for a long time. Don't try to sell me that garbage.
Well, also,
okay,
again,
I understand protecting him because Holmgren never called guys out in the press.
Yeah.
He might say things like this, but I've only been called in all my years of football, I've only been called to the principal's office one time for underperforming. And it wasn't even with Green Bay. I was a sophomore at Boston College. And I was in a funk, probably a little homesick, and he brought me in. And it wasn't a tongue lashing. It was more of a building up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I wonder if he's been to the principal. I don't even know if they do that anymore, the principal's office. I know guys have been there, Gabe, because, look, football players are human, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's problems at home.
Oh, sure.
There's problems all around. And sometimes the coach just wants to know what could be affecting performance. You know? And to me, just watching him, he just looks like a guy that's lost that fire. You know what I mean? I mean, he's average at best. He's being paid. There's your point, Gabe. He's being paid to be an A player.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I mean, and people have, since he signed that contract too, people have passed him by. He's not even top 10 anymore in pass rusher salary in terms of annual average value at $24 million per year. But even the guys that are in the same kind of area as he is, so he's at 24. Nick Benito, who is the top pass rusher for the Broncos that you are going to see on your televisions this weekend, who has 12 and a half sacks. I'm sure he's a fine run defender, but do you think he's getting paid $26.5 million for how he plays the run or because he's got 12 and a half sacks with four games left in the season?
No. I mean, it's not like an offensive lineman, Gabe, where if they're really good, you don't hear about them. You know what I mean?
Yes. And honestly, too.
You don't hear about them.
And honestly,
the
too.
Defensive,
it's the same thing with cornerbacks. If you have a really good cornerback, you probably don't hear his name that much because teams are not throwing his way.
Yeah.
But pass rushers?
Right. It's like I always said it is a long snapper game. You know when you get noticed?
Rocket Man.
When you screw up. Rocket Man or Bowling for Dollars. That's what they used to call me. You know? That's when you get noticed. I mean,
I have no problem with Jeff Hafley doing what he did there. That's fine. He's defending his player. He's trying to build a guy up. He's going to need Rashawn Gary.
Exactly, because he's going to need, even if Rashawn's playing on a limited basis, which is, again, splitting time with Ngabire the way he did Sunday, he's still playing 50% of the defensive snaps.
Right.
He's still playing a significant role.
And it's our job and Jason's job and everyone there in Green Bay to sort of decipher that and say, yeah, that's great. It was blustery. You gave a full-throated defense. Some people are going to buy it. But look at the snap counts. Look at the production. Look at the way Rashawn Gary's being treated right now. He's not being treated as one of the better players in the NFL or one of the better edge defenders in the NFL. He's not being treated like a full-time player. He's being treated like an option that swaps in and out. A guy who's not making those impacts. The whole thing we talked about when Micah Parsons came here was Rashawn Gary's going to have a lot of opportunity because he's going to get a lot more one-on-ones and there's going to be a lot of pressure coming from the other side. And since that early streak of sacks, we've seen him become basically a non-factor on defense. He's losing snaps to a guy who's likely to be a journeyman in the NFL.
But because that is the point too, Josh. Even if he wasn't a high snap count guy, we're talking 60, 70% of the snaps as him as a not high snap count guy. When we go back, because everybody looked it up after Matt LaFleur had mentioned that earlier this season. He played like 50% of the snaps.
And I don't want to hear tired, okay? If you're tired, you're not in shape. In all my years of playing Gary, I got tired one time. One time in Tampa Bay. You know why that was? Because all our receivers went down and I had to move to the Z. I was playing Z at 260 pounds. This body ain't meant to be a Z. It's meant to be a Y. And that's the only time. So if you're tired, then you're not in shape.
Wait, so did you end up running a couple of go route? Because a lot of times when you're on the go route, they like pull you off the field because it's just going to take you so much time to get back to the huddle. You're a little gassed.
Yeah.
And then you rotate back in. But if everybody was down and you're playing the Z, do you run a couple of go routes and then have to come back to the huddle as quickly as possible?
We were in 2 minute game.
Oh, God.
Which made it even worse. You know? Which made it even worse.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Just... I don't even mean to laugh at your pain.
No, it's funny. It's funny. But yeah, holy, that's the only time that I was just absolutely gassed. Now, do you get winded? Yeah, sure you get winded. But you know what? They're not conditioned. And it's your responsibility because we weren't a conditioning team. We'd condition a little bit in training camp, but Holmgren's thing was, from drill to drill, you're humping it, mm-hmm. okay? So our practice is 1 hour 40 minute long. You're humping it the whole time, and that's why we didn't condition. Now, when it gets cold, you start to eat a little more. So then it's your responsibility to get on a treadmill and keep yourself in tip-top shape.
Well, that's why you guys have, what, weigh-in was Friday for you guys?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So I don't want to hear tired. You're a professional athlete being paid $24 million. You shouldn't be tired, okay?
Jason Wilde was in the room yesterday when Jeff Hafley gave that defense of of Rashawn Gary. I don't think anybody needs to defend Micah Parsons. There's no defense needed. But he was in the room when Rashawn Gary was defended by Jeff Hafley. We hear from Jason Wilde next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But before we get to Jason, I do want to get to this text on the Car Boost Talking text line, Chew, 800-990-3776 from Jason. Here's what it says. Tell numbnuts to tell the suit story. My dog died this year. My wife hates me. I work for the City of Milwaukee DPW, so I need some laughs. I'm hanging on by a thread here. Does that influence you at all?
I'm not in control, Gabe.
Okay. All right. Okay. I figured I would read the text.
I'm not in control. I would love to.
It was a quick diversion here. Gabe, has your garbage been picked up since Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it was picked up yesterday.
Maybe that's just a me thing then, because I've got no space. I'm out.
So
I know those people are working hard, so I'm not going to complain. It's just we're getting to the breaking point.
Last week it was supposed to be Thursday, but they came by on Friday and did it. Yesterday, garbage recycling day for us, so yeah, everything was gone.
I'm approaching a month.
Oh, boy. It's got to be stacking up.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's not great. But you know who is great? Jason Wilde. He joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
I don't know about great, but I'm better than Josh's garbage situation.
It's tough. It's tough, okay? It's not about high bar to clear, though, Jason. So you were in the room yesterday when Jeff Hafley gave his full-throated defense of Rashawn Gary. What was your interpretation of why and how he went about that defense of Rashawn?
Yeah, it was my question.
Hold on. Jason, question. I'm going to have to call you back. We've got issue here.
Yeah, it's a little crinkly.
A little craggly.
Yeah.
Josh, why isn't your trash man? Why haven't you called? I mean, normally if they...
And he's got to call Jason.
I was going to say, you're asking me a question. We'll talk about this after.
he's got to call Jason now. I mean, but that's... Again, last week made sense to me, too, because like there was still like snow removal that was happening on Thursday. So they didn't come till Friday, which, again, was fine. And then they were on time for me yesterday. Okay. Had no problems. I can hear you
better now. All right.
All right, we get back to Jason Wilde here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, you were saying about Jeff Hafley and his defense of Rashawn Gary.
Wah, 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 wah. I don't know what happened, but that's my Charlie Brown's teacher. Yeah, I felt like we had to ask him about it, so I did, and I tried to ask it in a way that elicits an answer, and it sure got an answer. Buried in that answer was, would we like him to have more pressures? Yes, we would. So there was at least that acknowledgement there. But, like, I don't know, like, Jeff Hafley is a player's guy, right? So he's not going to chuck him under the bus. Like, even when he points out that guys did something wrong, like when I asked him about Evan Williams on the interception, he within his answer, he says that Evan went rogue, but that he was glad that he did because it resulted in an interception. He's always going to try and effectively and largely successfully, he does this, spin it in a way that it's not nearly as harsh of a critique as that player merits. And, you know, he went into a whole thing about how great he's playing the run. Woohoo! And about how few true dropbacks they're facing. Again, the numbers are the numbers. That's your resume. Your film is your resume. And he has not been impactful. And, you know, what I ended up doing from a writing perspective was basically giving the statistics, comparing him to J.J. Enagbare and Micah Parsons, and then basically giving Hafley the floor. I haven't talked to Rashawn Gary. I would like to ask him questions, but he has not been available. So I didn't really feel great about writing a story about this without talking to him. So I just sort of put it, hey, here's what Jeff Hafley said, and kind of take it for what it's worth in your opinion.
Jason, back in the day when I played with Keith, Andy Reid.
McKenzie or Neitzel? Right.
I'm a little slow today, yeah.
Today, yes.
You're all good.
Today, specifically.
Yes. Jason, Andy Reid's the one. Yeah, Andy Reid was the one who set the reps for me and Keith. Who do you think sets them for Gary and Enagbare? You think the D-line or the D-end coach, or is that coming from Hafley?
No,
guys that are getting paid $24 million shouldn't be playing half the time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think they plan, right? Like, I'm sure Holmgren did not give Andy just complete autonomy on whether to play you or Keith Jackson, right? Like, sure there were plays that were clearly yours and whatever else. But I think the position coach, you know, kind of then has the in-game feel for who they want to sub in, who they want to sub out. I think at one point during yesterday's presser, Jeff Hafley talked about how, you know, he doesn't even know who's in there all the time because it is DeMarcus Covington's job to shuffle guys in and out. So, it is definitely under the position coach's purview. At the same time, I'm sure they talk going into the game about, okay, here's how much we want to play Enagbare, here's how much we want to play Rashawn Gary, and then we want Micah Parsons on the field for every snap he's able to play. Because that was the other thing, it was Tom Silverstein who asked, it was a really good question about, you know, how closely do they monitor what opposing teams do when Micah Parsons isn't on the field? Because they want, it's kind of like back in the old days when the Packers offensive coaches would never sub out Amon Green because any play could be an 80-yard touchdown.
Because I'd be fascinated how do they handle the receiver room as well. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, coaches have other responsibilities other than, hey, you get in there for this play, you get in here for this. I'd love to know how the hell they do it. Because there's so much going on in those 40 seconds.
Right.
Go ahead, Chase.
So, I think they have plays that are tagged for specific guys to be in there. And then, otherwise, I don't think it's Ryan Mahaffey, the wide receivers coach. I think it's Jason Vrabel, the passing game coordinator, who is basically the wide receivers coach still, who handles that. But, I mean, I see him all the time from, you know, because it's a different view for me from the press box. Like, I can see the Packers bench area, and I see those assistants sending guys in all the time.
So, Jason, as we continue along in this season, there was reporting yesterday and stories yesterday. It seems that Jeff Hafley, the heavy favorite to be the New York Giants head football coach going into next season. Do you believe it's a foregone conclusion that he is not necessarily for the Giants job, but not going to be in Green Bay next year?
I don't know about that. I'm not in the business of besmirching other reporters. I hate it when people do that to me. There's no way that Jaden Reed's playing with a Jones fracture. Okay. Well, maybe he was. But how does Connor Orr know that he's the heavy favorite? Like, isn't the interview process like he could completely bomb the interview? Like, I don't think he would, but what is that based upon? Like, the Mara family is not coming out and saying, "Oh, we really want this guy because he's from New Jersey." Like, I don't understand. Because that got a lot of run. Because we asked him about it, because his mom lives a half hour from MetLife Stadium, because his family's there and he would love to go back and be the Giants coach. Do I think he's a candidate? Is the job open? Yes, and yes. But
he's also somebody, Jason, when you have Adam Schefter receiving calls from a team owner saying, yeah, I think Hafley would be really good there. Obviously, people around the league, to me, are talking about it. That's
sure.
I don't know how you set the odds and say this guy's more favorite over this one, but I would say, correct, obviously his name has come up even outside of the Giants of, hey, he could be a really good fit there.
Right, and that's my point, is that is he a hot can? Because the column that Connor Orr wrote was a list of coaches that are good candidates for head coaching jobs, right? I mean, that's the premise behind it. And I could not agree with him more that Jeff Hafley, based on the fact he's been a head coach at the college level, so he has head coaching experience, the fact that he is now in his second year of running a unit that is a top five, top 10 defense, the fact that he has that kind of head coach countenance, all those things matter, okay? I am not in any way disputing that he will be a candidate in this hiring cycle. My God, he interviewed for the Jets job.
Yeah, he was a candidate last cycle.
Correct. So, totally agree. He is absolutely a candidate for the Giants and any other job that's going to be open. Again, I'm not here to besmirch Connor Orr. My point is that we don't even know what exactly the Giants want. Including the guy, because I know I have a couple of buddies who cover the Giants. And, like, their theory is, yeah, Jeff Hafley's a great candidate. He would be great for setting a culture because they're kind of they've been a rudderless ship under multiple head coaches there, right? But they also have Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers, and Cam Scadaboo. And so they have a young offensive core that they really like. I would think, and they would think, the guys that I know that cover the team, Tom Rock for Newsday and a couple other guys, like, there's also the view of they need to get the whoever the Ben Johnson of this cycle will be, right? Because that's the core of what they're trying to accomplish, is get that young group to become the kind of group that can, you know, be the foundation for a really good offense. And so until they get into the interview process and until somebody either blows their socks off, whether it's Jeff Hafler or someone else, I personally would just say, yeah, the story that Jeff Hafley or the story that Adam Schefter told about Jeff Hafley and getting that phone call, that's a great story. It's still on our YouTube page if people haven't seen it. But I'm not here to suggest he's not a candidate. Jeff Hafley is a candidate for the Giants job. I personally wonder what makes you say that he's a heavy favorite, because that makes it, doesn't that make it sound like it's his job to lose?
Yes, well, it does.
I can't imagine. I go back to Adam. Adam told us about a month ago, Jason, that an owner had called Adam and said, you know who would be a great candidate for a head coaching job? And Adam said, Jeff Hafley. And he's like, right. Mm-hmm. How did you know I was going
to say
that?
I'm glad you said that. Yep. And again, yeah. Do I think it's more likely than not that he's a head coach during this upcoming cycle? I do. Like, he has validated the view that there was of him last year, right? In January of last year. So I agree. Now, the other wrinkle, and maybe this is just my selfish, you know, enjoyment of our Thursdays, which now he's in, and I want to thank Jeff Hafley for giving me a little bit of credit for the Enter Sandman music playing. Now they got to do a better job of it on December 27th. But, like, I wouldn't – there is the possibility. I'm not saying he would do this. But Ben Johnson was a candidate – the previous cycle and had offers right before. Mm-hmm. And he decided instead to come back to the Lions and spend another year there. Cause he knew that he was going to be good. Just like, I mean, you think Jeff Hafley doesn't know that in 2026 with Micah Parsons and Xavier McKinney and Edgerrin Cooper and Evan Williams and all the guys he's got at his disposal, you don't think the Packers defense is going to be good in 2026? I do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he could, let's just say hypothetically that despite being the quote unquote heavy favorite for the Giants job, he doesn't get it. And the other jobs that open, like, you know, I don't know if Cleveland's going to open. I don't know about Arizona. Like, it's possible he could think like Ben Johnson and go, you know what? Well, I don't like any of these jobs. And there's always going to be 6-7 jobs that open every cycle. I'm going to stick here for another year. And then I'm going to see which jobs open next year. Now, that can obviously backfire. It didn't on Ben Johnson. But I would think that that's also a possibility. So, you know, I saw that. I read that. Totally agree that he is an outstanding head coaching candidate. I am just skeptical of putting the terms heavy favorite on that. And again, maybe Connor Orr would say, who is this Yahoo in Wisconsin questioning me? I've talked to a bunch of league GMs and owners that are saying the same thing. Maybe, but I just, it's almost too perfect, right? He grew up going to games watching Lawrence Taylor with his dad. It'd be a great story, but you know how I am. I root for the stories. Maybe there's a little bit of that happening here.
Jason, before we let you go, how concerned should Packers fans be with Josh Jacobs in the knee?
Well, I know you're not concerned, and I know Josh isn't concerned. look, they're trying a different route this week. You know, going into Minnesota, he practiced, and then they were like, it's J.J. McCarthy, let's take the week off, right? Mm-hmm. This week, this is obviously not a gimme game. So they're taking the opposite approach of, hey, let's rest him during the week and see if that gives him a better opportunity to play on Sunday. But, you know, we talked to him yesterday, and I don't want to say called him out on it. That's way too strong. But the previous Thursday, he had said flat out, I'm not missing practice. I'm not changing my running style. and now he's missed two practices in a row. Like, they did a scan. There's fluid on his knee. It's all the swelling and everything else. There's no structural damage. None of the, you know, components of his knee are torn or sprained or anything else. So they're kind of stuck with, this is going to be an issue. They have to figure out how to manage it.
Appreciate it, Jason. I guess we're going to have to talk about that since Chewy decided to sneak that in. We'll talk about that coming up next. Jason, looking forward to hearing you on Wildy and Tausch coming up at 9 a.m.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll get to that Chewy comment coming up next.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one champion.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy can just bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over
and
there?
Yeah.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
We enjoy our Friday conversations with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin. You can also catch him Sundays on Sunday Karma. Good morning, Craig.
I feel like this is back in my normal spot.
Yes, it is. But, I mean, you've been on enough around 8:30 where that's kind of been the normal spot during football season.
Yep, exactly. But great to be here.
After you blew us off last week, no problem.
After the Bucks got a win last night. I was on a plane last week. My bad.
I know. Hey, Craig, does Giannis love drama?
No. Giannis's actions have been consistent. We've talked about this so many times. There's so much angst, so much stuff. When you're a superstar global icon, there's going to be conversation around you. And that is something that I think people can accept when you look at the effort and what Giannis puts out every single night on the court.
So where is the disconnect then? How does this consistently happen when if Giannis, I agree with you, Giannis's actions and the way he has responded have been clear, but yet we deal with these reports on what used to seem like a yearly basis in the offseason, they've now crept into a pretty consistent basis because now these reportings and these reports are happening in the middle of the season.
Yeah, but it's not the reports, it's how you react to the reports. So if the report is in the next few weeks, Giannis may talk to the Bucks about his future. Like, okay.
That wasn't the report, though. The report was he has talked to the Bucks and a decision's being made in the next few weeks.
Yeah. So, again, Giannis talks to the Bucks all the time.
Correct.
Like, Giannis has talked to the Bucks for his entire career. And obviously, as he became an elite player, those conversations happen with more frequency and happen with more, you know, determination around them. In terms of Giannis's desire and the organization's desire to compete every single year for championships. So the idea that these conversations are happening aren't shocking, and the idea that they're heating up in the last few years when you've had multiple first-round exits and a rough start to the season, it makes sense.
But it's so fixable, Craig. So fixable. All you got to do is come out and say, look, I am not going anywhere. Okay, and when I am, I will let you know. Instead of just letting stuff hang out there, you know.
I mean, the Bucks went out and won last night. I don't see how it's affecting the team. I don't see how it's affecting his teammates. If anything, I think his teammates know Giannis wants a locked-in group of players. So I don't see how it's affecting anybody.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, affecting anyone on the team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, and if you went to the game last night, if you saw the effort of the players, and without AJ Green, without Giannis, the way the team played, I just don't understand the energy, the value of putting energy toward it.
Well, because it's literally
everything. Back to the original. Yeah, I mean, you had question.
No, I get Perkins, it's a national story.
Kendrick Perkins is on a podcast calling Giannis a coward yesterday.
Yeah. I get that.
Which was way over the line to me.
Yeah.
I can't believe he said that.
I get that, again, people are going to want headlines and clicks and stories. And, you know, I was in New York for the last 3 days. Legitimately, I was walking by the hot dog guy on the street, and I hear them talking about Giannis. I walk into ESPN New York. They're talking about Giannis. Like, I get that this is a topic other places. I guess my point is we're fortunate that we don't have to, it doesn't have to be a topic for us. Like, I get that it's a topic for other people who want him.
Fair enough. I mean, I think a lot of it's just interesting as well because he hasn't talked, and I feel very confident that he would have been asked questions had the unfortunate calf injury happened.
Yeah.
And I think that could clear a lot of this up too, the second he talks.
I mean, he has talked a lot. I mean, he has said a lot of things. He said things, you know, when he came back after COVID, you know, about his commitment to Milwaukee and being here and his belief in this year's team. So I don't know how often he needs to say the same thing for people to, you know, accept it. At the same time, by the way, I'm not discounting if Shams is reporting something, you know, Shams isn't making it up. You know, I met Shams for the first time a few weeks ago in California. I was at a Lakers game and I happened to run into him and he, you know, he lives close by. You know that?
No.
Yeah, he lives in Chicago. He lives right in the neighborhood.
Oh, I had no idea.
I don't know
if Chicago's the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, I mean, Chicago, I mean, it's, I was there last night. I flew into Chicago, like, you know,
sure, but I don't know if that's the neighborhood.
In the course of the United States, we wouldn't say Chicago's like, right? Okay, well,
right down the road.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I said to him, do you make it up to any Bucks games? And he said, well, I don't know that I'm that popular there right now. And then I said, I would agree with that. I said, I would not believe that in amongst the Bucks front office, if I haven't asked anyone, that he would be that popular. Amongst the Bucks fans, I don't think he would be that popular either. And he said, maybe I'll come up, but maybe I'll wait a little bit.
Yeah, I would suggest waiting, especially we'll play the sound a little bit later of Peter Fagan. He called out Shams yesterday on WTMJ. So Bucks president Peter Fagan, none too pleased with Shams. I don't know if he'd comp the ticket for Shams if he wanted to come sit.
That would be interesting. I mean, I think he would get a press credential.
Yeah,
I think
he'd get a press credential, yes.
I think he
I don't think you would deny
legitimate
that.
Press.
But if he wanted to like come and enjoy the game and sit in the stands, I don't know, you'd probably have to buy that
ticket. So you're saying you don't think he's getting the invite into like the owner's fancy room because he's like a big celebrity from a national celebrity?
Doesn't sound like it. Josh, let's go ahead and play that. So Craig can hear what Peter Fagan had to say about the reporting around Giannis and Shams specifically yesterday on WTMJ.
Shams has been saying the same thing for almost a calendar year in getting this done. I think Giannis has made it clear that, you know, especially lately and especially internally and partially externally, like I'd like to rehab and I'd like to focus on basketball in a big way. And this is kind of Groundhog's Day. It comes back. It is terrible for our fans. It is terrible internally and externally. It's like the world of clickbait and to like make this happen. And I think, you know, this is, you know, honestly, like how to manufacture a story and continue to beat it to death till, you know, I think hopefully the pundits in the NBA, like, you know, it could happen. Our role internally is especially when we're not doing as well as we'd like to, is to really focus, you know, on the team, focus on winning, turning this around in like a big way, focus on the players and continue to improve. So, you know, I think Giannis has been unbelievable where, you know, he literally said the other day, like, you know, this focus is about team and about basketball and how to kind of change this. So I don't think the noise changes because I think, you know, the environment of which we're in, like if you're not winning consistently and we're having this kind of drop, you know, this is what happens. But, you know, John Horst and I were talking the other day and, you know, for us, like, welcome to the NBA. Like, you've got to go through, no matter what team you're at, you've got to go through a period of time that is just your challenge.
See, now that I like. I really like that.
I'm pretty sure you and Peter got along. The couple of times Peter's come in studio and hung out with us, I feel like you and Peter have always gotten along as East Coast guys.
Yeah, I like him. He just told it the way it is. He said clickbait, which I am not a fan of. And now
I feel like you
I'm
get
satisfied.
Tricked by a lot of clickbait.
He's the number one victim.
I feel like, Chewy, you get like, when it's like, see what these 80s stars look like today, I feel like you're definitely clicking on that, Chewy.
The amount he comes roaring mad to us in the pre-show meeting about some very obvious clickbait like
yeah,
Packer
but hold
story.
On. No, you guys are so wrong.
Has anyone ever been on
and
Facebook,
I love
by
Evan.
The way? I don't go on Facebook very often, but I don't know if it's just my algorithm, but I get these things on Facebook where it's like, the NFL world stopped to a shocking halt yes. when Matt LaFleur announced something that had all Trump supporters or like, yes. all, it, like all upset or all happy or all yeah. whatever.
It seems like just like, yeah, it's SEO farming. They yeah, just put in the names and the words and get your attention.
Yeah, but like you cannot have clickbait if you're not on social media. I'm sorry, you can't. So it is impossible for me to have clickbait.
No, you
it's
have
impossible.
Clicked on...
Ask Evan.
So I will... Obviously, Chewy is not on social media, but sometimes on like your Google homepage, it like populates stories because obviously you've Googled Packer stories before and you get tricked by those like outrageous headlines when you just go to Google because you've come with... what's always the Packers one? There's one Packers website that is just the
it's like
biggest.
A to Z or something. It's yeah. one of those that they kind of just are... They're just algorithm. Things they yes. just put stories out there.
By the
and
way,
you get mad.
So but it's, I was talking to Canty yesterday, Chewy, about this. He doesn't, and he evaluates every team so closely. You know, you hear him on Sportsman. Like he said, he has no idea who's going to the Super Bowl. Like, and he cannot remember a situation like this where yeah, we're midway through you. December, and he could say like, I was like Patriots, you know, and Bills. He's like Bills defense is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't buy the Patriots, but he's like, I think the Patriots would beat the Bills at home. And I was like, he's like, I don't totally buy the Rams. He's like, I like the Packers, but I'm not sure. Like, it's almost like when you think about flipping a coin, like, let's say it's going to be like, if you're going to win 60% of the time, it's like a 60-40 coin.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Packers want to go to the Super Bowl, flipping a coin three times, you're not very confident you're going to get the same result, right? But if they could get the one seed, a 60% coin twice
yeah.
is like 36%. Like it feels like it is so even and it's so, there's so much parity that the one seed actually matters more than anything has ever mattered before.
Tausch has been on that train with everything being so equal. But, again, we just see it with the Bears going from that number one seed all the way down to seven with a loss to the Packers.
Yeah.
With everything being that tight, skipping a playoff round and having two home playoff games seems like a bigger advantage
well,
this year.
Two things here. I think it's much harder in the AFC than it is the NFC because the Packers could lose these next two games. I don't think it'll happen, but they could lose these next two.
Yep. And we've seen them and we've seen them go and win three road games before, right?
Correct. Yes.
I just don't
But I think the AFC, I think the AFC no idea. Zero because I'm with you. I don't know what New England is.
What do you think the Broncos
I think the
are?
Colts, I don't know what they are. I think the Colts are done and then Buffalo
What, just because there's going to start a 44-year-old at quarterback on Sunday, you think they're done? What?
Oh, they're tough. All right, I'll give you another team no one's talking about. Under the radar.
The Houston Texans?
You know, nope. Although I like that, Craig. I think that's a team they don't want to play.
Nope.
I don't think they have enough to win the Super Bowl. No one is talking about Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't. I would rather. I agree. And if you look at Jacksonville's schedule, they should win the division. But the Texans, and they split those two. Their schedule's not that hard either. I think the Texans right now are like the Houston Rockets or the Detroit Pistons, not in terms of being that good, but in terms of like no one wants to play them. They are so physical. Like you could see the Chiefs, like they knew they needed to win that game so bad, but they also didn't totally need to catch the ball over the middle. Like the Texans play a physical, their defense.
Yeah, I agree.
I like the Texans a lot.
All right, who's the team in the NFC? And you can't say Packers because we know the Packers are good. Like, who's that team in the NFC?
You're saying the team
San
that,
Fran?
Like, that no one wants. San Fran, to me, still feels like a smoke and mirrors type team.
Yeah, their defense is. Teams can score.
I mean, you can't say Seattle, you can't say the Rams, and you can't say the Packers.
I think you could say.
I tell you what.
I think you could say Seattle. I think you could say Seattle.
What about Philly?
I would have said Philly, but like, I mean, the Chargers tried to give them that game every which way, and the Eagles got out physicaled by the Bears. No, I don't think you would say it about a team that it got physically manhandled by the Chicago Bears offensive line in the way they did. That's why I think it's Seattle, because Seattle, if everyone wants to anoint the Rams the best team in the NFL, Seattle threw four interceptions against them and then still almost beat them. Like, I think Seattle and the Texans are the two teams just grind it out and no one wants to play.
What about Detroit?
Detroit can send a message and do the Packers a favor if they beat the Rams.
I think everybody is afraid of Jahmyr Gibbs in the NFL except the Packers. Right? Like, everyone is like, this guy is unstoppable. Yep. He's 250 yards every time he walks on a field. And then the Packers play him, and like, I don't know what they do and like how they're able to be that good against them.
I think it's just the athleticism of the linebackers that kind of flow, I think, for the Packers, which is a good matchup for them. But I would put the Lions on that list just because it's a team that's been there. They've been to an NFC championship game. They've got all those offensive weapons that you don't want to deal with. The one thing, I guess, that with the Lions, if you are a team that plays outside, that's not a team that goes outside.
And by the way, we can't forget that Amon-Ra St. Brown did not play in that Packers game, right? Like, that was a back and forth game where the Packers, it's not like the Packers were completely stopping that Lions offense, and that Lions offense was without its best player or second best player. So I think that's fair, and we can't underestimate what that Lions offense is capable of, even if we think their defense is shaky.
Yeah, I mean, but they're in a spot where they probably, I mean, if they don't beat the Rams, then they have to win out. Then they've got to beat the Steelers, Vikings, and Bears at the for their final three games.
Chewy, I was going to say the equivalent of the Texans for a hot second looked like it'd be the Cowboys, right? Like, they look like that team.
But
that
the inverse of, like, the Texans are physical and ugly the game up, whereas, like, you...
The Cowboys were the offense that was unstoppable.
Where if you, like, you put once, and then you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because that offense seemed unstoppable.
If CeeDee Lamb didn't get that concussion against the Lions... Who knows where that game goes and where that season goes.
Craig, always appreciate the time. Appreciate you jumping in, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Go Bucks.
Craig Carmerson joins us every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was getting at.
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for a new car, truck, or SUV? Now is the time to buy, because Ewald Automotive Group's year-end sale is here. They're saying yes to the lowest prices of the year on over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles. Yes to 0% financing. Yes to maximum trade values. And yes to no payments until 2026. Ewald's year-end sale. Now through the year-end. Makes sense. Year-end sale. All you have to do is go to ewaldauto.com. Credit on select models. Interest accrues from date of purchase. Expires month end. A little bit of breaking news in the NFL this morning. Just about 10 minutes ago, Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Jets are signing starting center Josh Myers to a two-year, $11 million extension that keeps him in New York through the 2027 season.
Well, we must like him, although that's not a lot of money. For
I was going to say, they don't like him that much. That's still enough money where you can draft or sign someone and play him ahead of him.
Sure.
I'd be interested to see if they sign Sean Ryan.
I am very curious.
I mean,
I doubt it.
That's exactly where I am.
But I just don't know what else you do there.
They've done everything to tell us they don't like him. They've never given him a starting job, despite playing better than most guys. And then he comes. Are we 100% sure if we, like, are we 100% sure Elton's done for the year?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm also 100% sure he's been playing better than Elton.
I think so, too. But they seem to not think so when we think players are playing great all the time. And then they tell us players who aren't playing well, like Rashawn Gary, are playing actually great.
I mean, how many times in the last couple of weeks with Sean Ryan have you just seen a free runner right up the gut? Seemed like he was happening about once a game with Elton. And I love Elgton Jenkins.
Once, that's goodness.
But hold on, you're fine going into next year losing Rashid Walker, Elton, and Sean Ryan.
No.
But he thinks the Packers are.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I am not okay with that, Jew. I think the Packers are okay with that, which is a little scary.
I'll be okay with Rashawn Gary. I mean, not Rashawn Gary. Rashid Walker. I think Jordan Morgan's going to be more than good at left tackle.
Why are you okay with Rashid Walker? He is fine.
Yeah, and I think they have a fine replacement who's cheaper.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when Jordan Morgan played tackle, he was good at it. Very good at it.
When he's played guard, he's been
very bad.
At it.
And I think, hopefully, we're learning a little bit here. Sometimes tackles are tackles and guards are guards. And that's just, Elgton Jenkins, you blanked around guard. And you found out.
Yeah.
You had a great guy at guard, and then you moved him to center, and it was a massive downgrade.
And then you got worse at center and worse at left guard.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's the offensive line, I feel, is something that we're going to be talking a lot about. And with not having a first-round pick and not having a lot of cap room, that's where replacing center is going to be really, really interesting.
They need another Zach Tom, like they need air.
A late-round pick.
Like a third or fourth-round pick who is just
sixth-round pick.
Stud.
Yeah, who just comes in and is like, oh, good, a Rashid Walker.
Yeah.
Another one like that.
Yeah.
That's how they fix this, because they ain't fixing it with premium picks.
No.
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that because I just want to think about how good the offensive line is now. It seems like they have fixed it. How much is that going to help against this tough defense that they're playing in Denver? Plus, Chewy said something at the end of Jason, we need to revisit. That's in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.